You're listening to Radio Zapatista. Radio Zapatista is an independent media collective based in Mexico, covering the Zapatista movement and other social movements around the world. For over a month now, Israel has been bombing Gaza through air, sea, and land in retaliation for the attack by Hamas on October 7, aimed at lifting the deadly blockade imposed on Gaza for 17 years, which has led to thousands of deaths, most of whom are children. Around 1,400 people died in that attack, although recent reports from Israel indicate that there is a strong possibility that many, if not most of the dead, were killed by indiscriminate fire from the Israeli army itself. Israel's offensive against Gaza has killed close to 11,000 people so far, at least 4,500 of whom are children. In violation of international law and all human rights conventions, Israel is massacring the civilian population indiscriminately, attacking hospitals, schools, ambulances, shelters, mosques, homes, buildings, and refugee camps, as well as infrastructure. Since October 7th, Israel has hit at least 12,000 targets with 25,000 tons of explosives, according to EuroMed Human Rights Monitor, which is the equivalent of two nuclear bombs. Massive demonstrations all around the world have condemned what is evidently Israel's ethnic cleansing and genocidal project, not only committed through direct massacres, but also employing hunger and deprivation, cutting off access to food and clean water for a population of 2.5 million Palestinians. From the West Bank, we spoke to Fuad Abu Saif, General Director of the Union of Agricultural Work Communities, who explained the situation. Fuad, thank you very much for being with us. We would like to know what the situation is like in Gaza right now, but before we do that, we would like to know what life was like in Gaza for the last 16 to 17 years since the borders were closed by Israel in 2006.
Okay, thank you very much. Actually, the story of Gaza and West Bank and all Palestinians started not just from 7th of October or even 16 or 17 years ago. It started like actually 75 years ago when Israel is occupied Palestine and in 1948. In 2006, there was a national election in Palestine and Hamas won that election. And immediately Israel imposed a siege in Gaza. And they turned the life of the people there is like in very difficult way. Gaza is just a small area. It's like 665 kilometers, square kilometer, and surrounded from all sides of Israel, plus the other side is the sea. Then there is around 2.5 million Palestinians living there. Israel put all of them is under siege, which means that no way to go in or out this small area without passing Israel border. And they prevented around 100 different materials to be entered Gaza, which means that all the fundamental like and basics needed for life is prohibited to be entered to Gaza. And of course, there's no airport, no any connection with outside, except from Egypt side, which is also with the agreement with Israel. They also blocked that place. An office in Gaza, and we used to work closely because our office is like responsible to be in direct and in daily touch with the people there. Thousands of people died because there is no enough like care in the hospital, no materials, no fuel, no electricity. Electricity was even before October 7th, having 4 hours on, then the rest of the day is no electricity. This is just an example. The water is contaminated, and no clean water in Gaza. No one can go in and out Gaza for like 16 or 17 years.
And some people have described Gaza as the largest open-air prison in the world.
It's not just an open prison. It's even Israel waged 5 wars before this one, during this 16 years, killed thousands of Palestinians. They put everyone under risk, and thousands of Palestinians were killed because either they entered their land in the buffer zone, which is in the border between Israel and Gaza. Anyone entered after 6 p.m., they shoot him. Hundreds of farmers lost their life because they late in their farm and the Israelis attacked them. protesters who tried to protest and condemn this kind of miserable situation in that area were get killed or injured because they organized a kind of march near the Israeli border. This has happened like since 2014. The wars mean that the military operation could took place in any moment, and it's happened like five times without any reasons to justify that. Israel in the past 16 years already initiated this military operational without having any attacks from Gaza.
So what is it like now on the ground after October 7th?
Since more than one month, Israel is started this genocide on Gaza. The number of victims is increasing in very crazy way. For example, until last night, it was almost 11,000 Palestinians killed in one month. More than 35,000 were injured by the Israeli continuing airstrike against civilians and homes and everything, all the infrastructure in Gaza. The problem is like more than 69% of them is children and women. The way they're killing cannot be described. They bomb houses full of civilians and the children. And as you may know or not, the majority of the people in Gaza, they are young and children, more than 60%. So all the houses is full of children, and they, without alerting anyone, they bombing the houses and the buildings and everywhere in Gaza. I say it's a very small area. The life is cannot describe. No safe place in all Gaza. And in addition to that, beside the siege already imposed there for 17 years, they imposed another different kind of siege, which is on 10th of October, they cut the food and they use starvation as a weapon in this war. They cut roads, they cut water. There is no food, no water, no electricity in Gaza, no safe place.
And how are people surviving with this lack of food, water and mobility?
This is why I told you as an humanitarian organization, as UWAC, we launched from the beginning of this war a kind of campaign to support the people in having like access to their food. No food entered from outside. We relying on the limited food that they have inside Gaza. You know, Gaza is an agricultural area, so it's two different like places. The buffer zone, where it's the huge land area next to Israeli border, where it's Israeli isolated that area totally from the people and farmers, so no one can have an access to that area. There is another small area, which is like the land inside Gaza itself, where it's what we call it home garden, where the people use plant around their homes. So this is the only source of food and water they have. Plus, there is some suppliers, big suppliers in Gaza. They already storage before the war some food and materials. We are in contact with them, and it's almost run off in the last 3-4 days. They just managed with the very, very, very few food, and they tried to schedule that among the families, each family, that we have to this for tomorrow, this for after tomorrow. And as one of them, they told me, look, for us, we have no problem. But the problem, it's difficult for me to describe that for my children, that we don't have food and we have only one meal, which might sometimes only bread or rice. And we explain that to children. They start crying. They don't understand what that means. But this is the only way that we are managing this starvation and tough situation. Water is the same. They have to, for example, I give you an example. In Rafah, which is the south area of Gaza, where almost 900,000 Palestinians imposed to move from the north to the south, plus the other like 900 or 1 million already living in that area. They have one well working manually because no electricity and no fuel. And they have to wait. Sometimes you have to wait 4 or 5 hours until you fill your containers with 30 or 40 liters. And if you are lucky, you have water finally. If not, then you have to come back next day. and we try not to use the bathroom, for example. And this is an agreement in a family. We have to use that one time, and we have to be able to use that one time during the day. So the stories comes from there is very difficult, especially for children. Of course, there is no milk. And the bread, they said, we sometimes the bread is very dry, and we put some water to give it to the children that they can eat it. They allowed some trucks to enter Gaza. And until now, maybe it's 150 trucks from the beginning. Some of the trucks they enter, it is like having 30 or 20% from its capacity. So it's almost empty. And most of the materials and the food inside, it's expired. And others, it's not the needs of the people right now in Gaza. It's clothes or something they don't need right now.
A few hours ago, the ZLN published a communique. Let me read you a part of it. The murdered Palestinian children are not collateral victims. They are, and always have been, Netanyahu's main objective. This war is not about eliminating Hamas. It is about killing the future. Hamas will only be the collateral victim. Israel's government has lost the media battle because it turns out that genocide, even if disguised as revenge, does not have as many followers as it believed. It is now capable of the most unimaginable cruelty. The only ones who may perhaps end the massacre are the people of Israel. So this brings me to a couple of questions. The first one has to do with the true motivations for this barbarism, which is backed by the United States, England, and other European countries. What are, in your opinion, the economic and geopolitical interests at play here, and what are Israel's and its allies' true intentions?
Well, there is some facts that become so clear for everyone. And I don't know how the world is like accepting this and still listening and not taking any real action to stop this kind of genocide against the civilians and in particular against the children. The Israeli is not just Netanyahu. All the Israeli leaders and even most of the civilians in between two brackets, declared in way or another during this war and from the beginning that no civilians in Gaza and we have to kill all of them. We have to burn them all. Just a few days ago, I don't know if you heard about that or not, there is 100 doctors signed a petition demanding from the Israeli government to burn Gaza totally, including the children. Can you imagine 100 doctors saying that? Imagine the others what they get. With this strong support and back from U.S. and the other Western government, it's a kind of a clear project that they want to change the whole face of the region here and try to restructuring the area and the region in the way that become more beneficial for Israel. From the first moment of the 7th of October, they moved speedily to visit Israel and express their like solidarity. And they agreed about the Israeli project to displace the Palestinians from Gaza and push them to Rafah as first step, then the next step from Rafah to Sinai. We have not to close eyes from what's going on, even with the support of USA and the Western governments here in West Bank, because from the first moment of the war, everything here is changed. And until yesterday, Israelis killed 175 Palestinians in West Bank, where there is no Hamas, no actions, no military operations here, which means also preparing for another displacement to Jordan. And the Israelis is now putting that on the table and start speaking about this Israeli project where Gaza can be pushed to be in Sinai, then the West Bank people can be pushed to Jordan. So it's a horrifying project, ethnic cleansing in West Bank and genocide war in Gaza, and with the support, full support and green light from the European governments and U.S. And I think, of course, this is impossible. The Palestinians will not allow this to happen, for sure. And what's going on in Gaza now, the way that the people and the resist is like an example. But it's risky for everyone and no room now for international law. And they put Israel and encourage Israel to be above the international. It's again restructuring the region in a way that Israel can play and do whatever they want. They attacking Syria almost on a regular base, Lebanon. They do whatever they want with the full coverage from Europe and US.
Yeah, and of course, this is happening in the context of a crisis of the United States as a world power. Yes, Russia, China, and BRICS acquire more power and threaten Western hegemony.
Yes, U.S. Dealing with Israel as an important military base here. And there is a gas in Gaza. There is a huge quantity of gas discovered recently after 1996, but it's become more clear after 2000. And it's not just this U.S. using Israel, as I said, it's like the military base to fight and threat everyone in the Middle East, and even including Russia and Iran and everyone. This is explaining that Biden next day is visiting and stated some statement which is like full of lies. It was clear that he's lying and no evidence on his like statements, and they know Palestinians has no real like powers here. They don't have tanks, they don't have weapons, they don't have nothing. They have natural resources. Yes, we have natural resources. It's about gas. It's about another thing is even, it's about having access to the Red Sea through Gaza, Suez Canal, another one, which is like this plan is, we heard about that since tens of years ago. And the only way to do that is to evacuate Gaza and displace the Gazan people. And then Israel will have an easy path to have another parallel channel, which is economically and will be like very important to them.
And in this context, what role are the other Arab countries playing?
The Arab countries is like either put them like as a weaknesses, or they even support Israel. I mean the government. The Arab government. Between Gaza and Egypt, there is no Israelis. But the border is heavily closed. So the Egyptian government, since even 2006, closed that only gate and hope for the Gazans to have an access to the world. Which means, yes, they are contributing in any practical way. It's Egypt, the biggest Arab country, and the ones who have the power to change everything. But they do the opposite exactly. The other Arab U.S. is like scaring them. They're bringing this like all the U.S. powers and groups to be in the sea here to alert them that if you move or support, this will be like mass on your countries. They are very weak, fragmented. And they put them on side, and even they're condemning sometimes the Palestinians and supporting Israel.
So what do you see as a possible outcome? President Biden has said there is no way this is going to stop. Netanyahu denies all possibility of a ceasefire. Where do you think this is going?
It's difficult to talk about any future among those criminals and this kind of way of thinking from even Biden and the other, yes, they, which is like shocked everyone seeing people killed and children getting killed in this very difficult way. Then after almost 35 or 4 days from the war, that no one talk about a real ceasefire. And the opposite is like they're saying and justifying, okay, we keep our like attack because we'll not give any chance to Hamas to rebuild itself or etc., which is not true at all. They don't want to have any ceasefire because they keep the pressure over the people to keep pushing them to the south. And this is what happened now in Gaza, because they entered with this invasion to Gaza and they're surrounding Gaza City right now. And they keep pushing and killing and attacking the people, and the people start moving, escaping from Gaza to the south again. This is the way they use in 1948, when Israel groups is attacking more than 500 Palestinian villages. They keep attacking them until they evacuate and displace these villages from the people to Jordan and part to Lebanon and Syria, etc. Then after that, they turn them to be refugees. They're repeating the same thing right now. It's a kind of the genocide thing in very clear way. Everyone is watching as we are watching a movie, and on the ground they keep killing in this way. So this is should be stopped. It's not just to stop. Even they have to take responsibilities and holding account on their crime. I'm a bit like scared that with this green light from US, they will continue the killing, and the situation in Gaza will be more and more and more like hard and difficult, and everything is possible, frankly speaking, in that area. They don't care about the number of victims. I'm not optimistic. I'm scared. Really, we are all scared that this continuing and become like normal part of the daily like agenda of everyone in the world. And then after 1, 2, 3 weeks, no one will even talking about this, and the Palestinian will stay under attacks and suffer.
And yet there is an unprecedented outrage and supports around the world, with very large demonstrations, including by Jewish communities in many countries, who are saying no, not in our name, we'll not accept this genocide. Do you see any hope in this world movement in defense of the Palestinian cause?
You know, we see as a Palestinians two hopes among all this darkness. The steadfastness of the Palestinian in West Bank and Gaza, because in West Bank is very, very hard. They imposed even the closure and the siege and the killing, shooting in every day, plus what's going in Gaza. So the steadfastness of the Palestinian is one hope, and it's strong. The other hope is, yes, this kind of huge demonstration and anger from all over around the world. And if it's continue like this, or even tougher, might impose, because it's started, for example, in France and in even USA, we start hearing a very, very few change in them, which is in playing in words right now, not a real change in their position. When they start talking about ceasefire, because ceasefire was not mentioned at all like 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago. And in France, what Macron said here in Jerusalem when he visited Israel, he started saying that to have alliance to fight Palestinians or Hamas, what he said that. And later on with this huge demonstration, start demanding for ceasefire in very open and public way. That's the only hope that we have. No other hopes, no other options.
Fouad, since you are in the West Bank, can you tell us what the situation is like there?
It's very difficult and risky. We cannot move from our cities or villages. They cut everything. They fixed gates in all the Palestinian cities and villages. You cannot exit, going out or in to these villages or communities without exit from that gate, where there is always a checkpoint in that gate. And if you get closer, they might shoot you. Many Palestinians killed there. Also, you know, Area C, that according to Oslo Agreement 30 years ago between the Palestinians and the Israelis, they divided West Bank in three areas, A, B, C. Then Area C, which is like composed of 63% of the West Bank, which the majority of the land and the resources is located in that area. From 7th of October, they displaced the people from that area, which is the huge area. And there is a hope to build the Palestinian state in the future. Settlers is raided the Palestinian communities in Area C on daily basis. They attacking the houses, burning farms, stealing the Palestinian assets, cutting up rooted trees. We are in the middle of the olive season right now, and the olive season is like a carnival for the Palestinians. No one can harvest their olive because settlers, either they stealing the olive, or they uprooted the trees, or they shooting on the Palestinian farmers who's trying to having access to their land. Where last week, for example, near Nablus, they killed some of the Palestinians while they picking their olives. During this month, they killed 175 Palestinians. And yesterday alone, they killed 16 Palestinians, 10 of them in Jenin camp. They arrested more than 2,500 Palestinians just in 1 month. We have in the Palestinian prisons 5,500 Palestinians. They arrested them during the last 20 years. In 1 month, they arrested 2,500 Palestinians from West Bank. All the checkpoints is closed. Even the food here, I don't know how much time. Okay, we have more spaces, more food suppliers, but if it's continue like that, even there will be a shortage of food and even the electricity and the water in West Bank, they might turn it off in any moment if they decided.
Finally, is there anything else that you would like to tell our audience?
I think the only message that we have, all the Palestinians have, is we need to get our freedom. We get tired from being under occupation for 75 years. We need our children to have a hope and future similar to all the children around the world. We need to be safe in our land, in our home, in our camps. We don't like to see any more new camps, Palestinian refugees. We need the Palestinian refugees to return back. We need to have an independent country and future. We need a sovereignty over our resources, similar to the Israelis, to everyone. We're not less than the Israelis. We are human as others. We don't want to have anyone killed. We need to put an end to this occupation. It's not this cycle of war, because this is number six in the last 15 years in Gaza. We hate seeing the Western countries' hypocrisy and the U.S. support and participating in killing the Palestinian in direct way. This is, should be end. We have all to respect the human issues and the international law. It cannot be applied for the Palestinian, the victims, while tightening the Palestinian hand, then let Israel do whatever they want. We are fighter for dignity. We are fighter for freedom. We are not fight for killing or fight for hate. This is what I would like the whole world be aware of and stand with the Palestinians to achieve that. This is a values of a human. It's not just for the Palestinians. Fighting occupation here or elsewhere is a fundamental for a human all around the world. We have, history is full of stories like this, but it's all finished. And we need also here to be finished and to give the Palestinians hope and freedom.
This is Radio Zapatista. For more information, visit our website at www.radiozapatista.org.